Hello and welcome to Awakenings, an impromptu evening of a verbal tweet of archetypal energy and spirituality and mythology blended into one, and then whatever else comes up. So those of you that were joining from earlier today, hello, welcome back. And those that are new, see a lot of guests coming in on the phone lines and in the chat room. Welcome to you all. I'm your host, and as I like to say, co-pilot Michelle Mache, and a bit of a moderator here. We've got a totally off-the-hook panel tonight that is weaving a lot of different hats and ways of living, expressing, and being. So I'm really looking forward to tonight's show. Awakenings highlights conscious living for conscious lives. Awakenings Radio is a live internet program that focuses on grounding the spiritual process of awakening. This is a place that's part of the converging flow where we have awakening conversations with artists, musicians, writers, metaphysicians, spiritually minded people, and progressive thinkers in their own fields that are waking up, are awake, and awakening more and revealing and reflecting this awakened state through the way of being in the world. Here we have dialogues and interviews and awakened panels with teachers, healers, conscious experts, and visionaries of all walks of life. And Awakenings is a bridging point between science and spirituality. The call-in number for Awakenings Radio is 347-539-5122. And we'd love to hear from you. So if you feel you have a comment that you want to share or a question for anyone on the panel, definitely call in. Again, 347-539-5122. And I did get a couple of texts and emails from some people that are listening by phone, so that is fine not to pick up. And I will try to remember the number prefix to not pick up so that you are, a couple of you are driving, I'm not sure where, out of town or something, cross town from wherever you were and said you'd be listening by phone. So totally fine. And those that are joining us from the Twitterverse, welcome. Welcome to you all, and you can actually, if you want to sign into the BTR chat, all you need is your some kind of name and to sign in or register with an email address. Otherwise, we do have a chat happening also on Twitter at the Awake Aware chat, so you can join us that way as well. So lots of ways to be connected, and in many ways, this is kind of a completion or another jumping off point from last week. We had a Awake Aware verbal chat with quite a panel where we're really blending technology and what is the social media, specifically Twitter, representing or reflecting of the collective and individual consciousness. What does this mean? Where is this going? And how can you use social media or your reach in social media perhaps for the greater good or for more insight, inspiration, upliftment, or to rally people around a cause? Or are you using social media to connect with others and relay your own cause or perhaps as a community outreach? So we're going to be diving in and talking a bit about that with our panel. And tonight we have with us, many of you may know, Chad Lilly, founder of Inner Circle Publishing and Aware Talk Radio. And he can be reached at innercirclepublishing.com. And Chad, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. And I'm finally into the Awake chat here on Twitter. So
I can't get into it. Maybe we have to change the hashtag. I don't know. I can't see if you can get into it.
It's good to be here. I appreciate you doing this. Especially after you already had a show today at noon, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It's been a crazy kind of, well, I hate to say full flow, very full flow.
Extracurricular activity.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, my assistant was like, "You're gonna do? How can you do another show?" And I'm like, this is different. This is a little bit different, if you will." And we also have with us, who was here last week, Scott Brandon Hoffman, who is part visionary, artist, philosopher. Share and reflect the heart, soul, and wisdom and the comedy of being human. people have called him a little blend of like taking Oprah and Letterman, and they had a kid, and that's how he can be described. So here's Scott Brandon Hoffman. Hi, Scott.
I've got issues.
And he can be reached at livinginahumansuit.com. So I want to welcome you to the panel and
thank you.
The jumping off point. And we also have with us Kirsten Mitchell, who is a mythologist. She's blending spirituality, technology, and mythology. She's also a writer and media analyst. Kirsten weaves a thread between mythology, technology, and spirituality, and she's at KirstenMitchell.com. Hi, Kirsten.
Hi. I want an assistant.
Yeah, you want to? I've got two.
I think that would make everything perfect. I'm going to ask.
Let me tell you.
That to me.
Yes. Open to receive. Open to, it's very cool. Yeah, I had a growth spurt about a year and a half ago and had somebody working with me, and then some seeds that were planted. And probably the panel can talk about this. How does this happen? What is the psychology of this?
Can you manifest magically?
No, but they all come at one time. It's like everything has... my neighbors are like, well, what are you doing up at 2 in the morning? Chad is another one, highly creative, inspired, and motivated, and early morning. And I'm like, you know what? It's kind of by necessity because it needs to get done. And then I get on a creative flow. And, so that's... But it's fulfilled. I like to say it's a full flow. I don't want to wish it away or will it. Remember the children of the corn? You don't want to wish it away.
No, I don't remember the children of the corn, but thanks.
That's an interesting moment.
I like the music.
Here's a tip for people that when you're meeting that abundance and that prosperity and, you know, what you've intended starts to sprout. Don't be saying, oh my God, I'm too busy or so busy or hectic. You wish it away like the children of the corn. You want to say you're in a full flow and just
like,
step
I
into that. Or find
be gone, be gone. I know I called you in.
Right,
but I'm busy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people say, oh,
he's
you
there.
Get what you want. No, you know, find ways to step more fully. You know, don't limit the mind. Don't shrink your mind or your consciousness.
I'm always way more productive when I have very full flow, as we say.
Yeah, I love it. We've got lots in coming in the chat room.
Cool.
So how is everyone doing? What's up with everyone?
Rockin'.
What
Rockin',
projects are you guys
Scott?
Working on? I want to hear about your latest projects. Something fun.
Any projects coming up?
I said Kirsty has to express that first.
I'm the one who asked it.
Yeah, that's right.
I got some interesting projects, not all that I will talk about, but I'm transitioning into working, you know, and that's a really big transformation. I've been doing this as a passion project, and now I'm manifesting it in a more kind of concrete, you know, people, instead of just flowing it, putting the intention to actualize it or literalize it, I guess, and making a website and a blog. And
I've heard about that.
Yeah, I'm working on it. If you got any advice, I'd take it. You know, trying to figure out, you know, what I do, what's my intention, how am I projecting myself, what is it that I'm what's the net I'm casting out there into the stream?
Oh, I could have a conversation with you, honey.
Yeah,
we'll
what was
it,
that?
We'll do it off the radio.
All right.
Yeah, that's my specialty. I'm like help people uncover their perfect vision and their voice and where they want to go in like about 15
minutes. That's exactly what I'm at. It's so funny because I'm actually able to do it for other people, but it's more loaded when you do it yourself. Your stuff,
oh, absolutely.
You don't know what you don't know.
My perception is to have authentic branding, if you want to call it that, it has to come from other people reflecting back to you because it's really how people see you, you know, especially anymore. That's why I think the manufacturing or manufactured branding is not working. People think, you know, you have inevitably end up feeling the inauthenticity of it. But
it's like having an editor. It's like having an archetypal, mythological, spiritual, shamanic editor and to say, you know, hey, this isn't on focus of, you know, here's your wish, your intention, here's your dream. This is how we, you know, this is the yellow brick road.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of the people that are helping people do their branding and their you know, putting their stuff out there, turn them into cookie cutter or sounding like, you know, a newscaster or a journalist or whatever. And it's like, no one in real life talks like this. You know what I'm saying? And they put you on video, and it's like,
that's,
you know,
funny.
No one connects with that at all.
Well, I can't help it, Jeannie, so that's helpful. I try, and it lasts like 2 seconds.
Well, hey, if nothing else, wear your red top and some cool clothes and maybe like
well,
a weird
coming
bandana.
Well, actually, for me, coming from a background of that, I think there's more room now not to. There's 5 years ago and even longer, it really, that cookie cutter, you had to fit in. You know, and
yeah.
If you didn't fit
oh, yeah,
into
absolutely.
That, you didn't work. But
yeah,
now with the internet and building a following, or that people get you, you have the execs, which usually are business finance people. They don't like being wrong. They don't like taking chance, so they only want to go with what's usually gone before. But now with the internet, if you already have a following or a collective, or you're proven yourself, then they're ready to kind of take you on.
Exactly.
Yeah, one of the things I did want to dive in, and Kirsten or whomever would like to, maybe starting with Kirsten, is what do you see, and we talked about Twitter or Twitterverse last time, and we started really kind of tapping into that, but from a spiritual or spiritualist point of view, what do you see this archetypal energy or the mythology of social media, let's say Twitter, specifically Twitter, that whole idea of the stream or meeting in the stream? When you look at this, Kirsten, what do you see happening? What do you see the evolution that's taking place?
I see it kind of like little whispers, and it could be shouts, but little whispers to your soul, and they're calling you to actually meet real people and actually meet real people in real places to manifest things. But I do think I think it's hard to do without the voice, to do sort of this transformative, connecting soul expansion, but I think there's an intellectual sort of crumbs that are left by tweets that lead you to those experiences.
So the tweets are like little crumbs leading you?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think they kind of can. They're like little hints that can take you down the rabbit hole, to the red curtain, to the shamanic drum circle, to the meeting of soulful friends, to a healer, to the exact right person at the right time. I think they're little, like you said, that divine tickle, you know, that I really think they're...
That's on my cell phone, in case anybody doesn't know. Some people... I always
divine
follow
tickle.
You.
It makes
divine
me
tickle.
Smile every time. Yeah, say it in your voice, because it's so cute. Say it how you say.
Are you following your divine tickle?
I mean, who wouldn't want that message? Oh, yes, I am.
Well,
that's
fact,
right.
I am
now.
I'm tickling myself.
Yeah, exactly. I am now.
This is Michelle Rock. Michelle's just so embodied and spiritual and grounded and alive and brilliant. You are just
You can tell we're friends, right? We're friends. You can tell.
We are. I love her. I love her. But now
wait,
I'm
wait a
curious.
Minute. Is this a sponsored tweet?
I don't know.
Well,
she invited me, so. I guess I invited myself, actually.
Yeah,
you
I think
me
it
feel
was
welcome.
The brainchild of everyone. Kind of. You actually, Kirsten, you said, when are we doing this again? Let's pick up where we left off. What's going on?
Well, when we debrief, I kind of have to have a little debrief afterwards, or else I'll stay in my head just spinning it all.
Yeah, we did.
And
do
it
that.
Helps
we did
debrief do. Afterwards and kind of see where did we go and what paths were taken and what weren't. And it was such a wonderful experience last time. It was so fun. But also we said, hey, there is something. There's a path we didn't take that might be fun, that some people might like to walk down. And that's the more blatantly spiritual, more blatantly mythological, more blatantly magical, if you will.
Let's get late.
Let's get spiritually naked. That's what I like to call it.
Well, I did say it's like skinny dipping, you know. Come on, it's
that's
fun.
Right. Everybody nude, but that's spiritually, of course, because this is a family show.
That's right. We're like the emperor's clothes. We're bearing our soul.
That's right. It's the only
way.
Hey,
Chad, where are you? I'm here. And, you know, I think what Kirstie said about the tweets, they are digital breadcrumbs. They do leave a trail for people to follow. But I think it's actually going on. I see it as going a lot further than that. Maybe it's just my, you know,
imaginative
mind.
It's where you take it. You take
mind.
It further.
Sure, maybe I do. But I really feel
maybe.
like that what's going on with Twitter is when you connect the consciousness of millions of people in real time, the conversation goes up a different level. Because the things I tweet may not be things that I would say in a public conversation, you know, during the day. But it's more higher thoughts that I really do think, and therefore the people who resonate with it or respond to it. When you guys were mentioning branding before, what branding really is for all you guys that want to market, it's getting the collective consciousness to respond to what you say to it, whether and then obviously that's your product or your service or whatever, but what you really want is the mass consciousness, the entity that is all of us, to respond and say, hey, interesting. And that's what branding is a way of telling the collective consciousness something in a way where they'll look at what you have to sell and go, hey, maybe I'll try that. And that's all branding is. Twitter is a lot more than that, I think, in the sense that we're having a deeper conversation. The tweets we pass back and forth and retweet and pass on, a lot of the times the information that's coming through, at least that I post, like I said, it's higher information, it's real thoughts, mm-hmm. not necessarily things that I actually get to say every day standing in line at some store, but it's real things that you're really thinking, and by connecting the mass consciousness that way, I think it's taking it to a whole other level. I mean, all the marketing and stuff is great, and that'll continue, and that'll get more. But I think we're going to find out that this is going to cause a change in society faster than we ever thought it was possible. Mm. I hope, anyway.
Was it
a lot of what I say
last
city.
Time? Is that wildfire? Mm-hmm. It's like the speed and the alacrity, this instantaneousness and the exponential ripples spreading so quickly, and the audience and the potential audience and reach is just mind-blowing.
Right. And if you can engage and interact the whole, because what if you just sit and tweet or post constant stuff and you get no response? Well, then that is ineffective. That would not work as branding. That wouldn't be effective marketing. But what it really means is that the collective consciousness isn't responding to you. So maybe it's kind of interesting to look at the people that collective consciousness is responding to. And Twitter obviously gives us a very live, real-time feedback on that with followers and now lists. So it's interesting. I think it's such the beginning. We really don't know where this is going. And maybe for the worse, too. I mean, it may not be all good.
Why not?
Well,
why wouldn't it be?
Some of it's just a waste of time. Some of it's spinning your wheels. You know, some of it's not
I think it depends on the intention, like we talked about last week.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, how many people are sitting behind a keyboard just trying to say, hey, click my link and buy my affiliate product, and how many people like us are literally often kind of channeling higher energy and higher conscious thoughts that literally are like totally hooking into people's very souls at times
and
often tickling them.
This could be used the other way, the same way we're doing it to try and expand.
Sure, that's
include.
What I'm saying, absolutely.
That's why this may not be such a good thing, because it's so powerful. If a person knew what they were doing and they had a motive to confine rather than unify, then they could use this exact same tool to just keep them separated.
But doesn't that happen anyway?
I was just going to say that, Scott. I think this all happens, but, you know, somewhere, and you know, I know it happened to a degree in probably in the 50s and 60s, so I read, and then also in the 80s, it really got kind of quantified, this whole idea of marketing and branding and, oh, you're putting this together and putting this message out there, or... But people do that anyway. It was already happening, just right? So some people kind of systemized it and codified it.
Well, I just had I want to channel something. Branding, literally, like people literally are marking their bodies and changing their bodies and branding their bodies, and that's who they are. And when I think of the word brand, I really think of embodying an archetype. It's like channeling that archetype. It's trying to... pinpoint, you know, what building block of consciousness, what role in the big stage of your life, of others' lives, what role do you want to play, and then stepping into that or owning that of you, because that's the part of you that you're projecting, I guess. And I guess that's when I think of branding, I don't think of so much limiting as I think of stepping into a role. That's of an archetypal, and this also can be a role not of self-serving, but of serving others. Like what needs to be spoken, what needs to be served, what voice isn't being heard, you know, and you can be called into that space. And so
I just got a little, because I'm kind of sitting here like Michael Beckwith right now. I'm like talking with my eyes closed, which always leads to interesting conversations inside my head. And the thing that I just got was it's like tweeting from the inside out.
Yeah.
As opposed to using your head. And, you know, I think what's happened to me, I've been an entrepreneur since I was like 3 on top of the artist stuff. And I have to tell you that, and I do this with like everyone I talk to and all my clients and all the people that I kind of share my message with. It's this whole thing, we've all been so flooded with, you know, these are the 5 marketing rules, or these are the 10 marketing rules, or this is how you brand, or this is how you use Twitter. And at the end of the day, it's like, all I know is the more, you know, the deeper I go down the rabbit hole, or the deeper I get in touch with my soul and what's happening here, it's so much easier when you just listen to your inside that's talking and let go of all of these rules that everyone's telling us that we have to do. Mm-hmm. It's like, to me, branding is like just, you know, what is in you that needs to come out? It doesn't have to be so perfectly thought out.
Yeah,
but I think that's
have
the next generation, the next level.
Yeah.
What it really needs to, was always really needed to be, was not something manufactured, but the authentic you.
Which is everything.
You know, I remember
talking about.
I remember a few years ago I was on a radio program, and the host asked me, and I couldn't even believe what came out of my mouth. I think it was like 3 years ago, something like that. They said, if you were 4 years, because I work with guides, and they said, if you were back at 4 years old, what would your guides tell you? What would your higher self tell you?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, just be you.
That
he said, that's it?
Yeah.
I know. That's why I had a resonance with you, Scott, because you have just do you.
Right.
But what was interesting is the host, and at the time, I really didn't realize what I was saying because it just came out. You know, it was just like the spontaneous thing, and I didn't even think about it. And he was like, that's all? That's it? That's all he was saying?
Pretty much
and,
it. He wasn't right.
Yeah, and I said, yeah, that's all they're saying. And I remember at the time I thought, I felt, you know, minimized, but then at the same time I felt, wow, how simple and deep. And then, because really what can't you can, that's all you can do. And
it
I think
I think it takes a long time for people to step into that. I mean, I think the people in their 20s are seeming to get that a little bit more. I think because, you know, the whole evolution, and they're coming in a little wiser, a little faster these days. But I think that
maybe
there's a lot of people that don't think that it was possible to literally just, because everyone's always thinking about money first. And they don't necessarily realize that it's really, if you just strip away that grabbing and that need for money and you just dig into your soul and your heart and your passion and that which lights you up, and then once you figure that out and once you get grab onto that, then you just figure out, well, is there one, you know, how can I just make people's lives, how can I serve people through that in some way, shape, or form? It doesn't have to be like, you know, an information how-to step or how-to program or whatever, but just whatever it is. And if you do those two things, because then you're living your dream, you're satisfied, you're pumped up, you're filled with energy, and then you're also serving people, so you're adding value, and you can't help but have an abundance. It's just, you know, that whole energy of wealth exchange is just, I'm sharing my energy with you, and here's one way that it comes back through so-called money. And I think people just get so caught up, and I got to make money, I got to make money, I got to make money. They chase it, it doesn't work. And what I've noticed is when people finally step into doing themselves, which always sounds a little strange, that you just do it. And once you put that out there, amazing things happen.
Well, I have a funny story about trying to sell out. When I was in college, I started studying Chinese because I wanted to teach art history about the world. And no one was saying what went on in the entire other half of the world. All we had was ancient Greek. I was a classicist, and I was studying Chinese, and people were like, oh, it was 87, 88, 89, you know, this is when I was in college. They're like, you should study Japanese, you know, that's just so much smarter, you know, Japan is where all the business is going to be. Why are you doing Chinese? And I just said, Chinese is what just completely entrances me. Business is not something that, you know, is a driving force in my life. I'm following the art. I'm following the language. I'm just in love with it. And now who was smart about business? You know what I mean? Even making a decision, heart-based, passion-based, could turn out to be very lucrative, but not because you meant it to be. It's
right.
Just you're just following your passion. And it just it cracks me up when I think back people, you know.
Can I bring up
if you're following that intuitive you, that inner knowing or higher self, however you want to couch it, it's going to lead you to the most life enhancement, whatever that is, you know,
exactly.
For you at a soul
That's
level.
That's my point.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to share a really quick story. And it's not even as complicated as I shouldn't say as complicated, but just – I hear all these people that have been spending a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, you know, chasing money and looking for all these businesses and internet marketing and network marketing and whatever else they're doing because they think that's how they can make money and then they'll someday be free. And I saw this, there's this Twitter account that I've been following for a while, and it's just, you know, because I have that weird sense of humor, and it's called Shit My Dad Says. Excuse my French,
yeah.
But
I watched it, and
I'm like, wow, this dude's got 750,000 followers, and I just saw the story, and I was so excited about this because this is like right on purpose of where I'm going with my brand. He came on in August, 28 years old, and he lives with his 73 or 74 year old father, and just started tweeting some of the stuff that his dad says. And literally, within 3 months, we're talking 90 days, he just got a sitcom deal on CBS and a book deal with HarperCollins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over. It's like, I mean, and people are going...
But, you know, let me interject here because, again, to me, that's a little bit of the old paradigm that all... Because what is success? It's going to be different for everyone.
Sure. I think I was just trying to bring up getting noticed and building your tribe and... having things happen. Success comes in all different forms. I totally agree. But I was using that analogy of people trying so hard versus just doing what they are, you know, being told to do inside, whatever that is.
Chad, any thought on that?
A lot of thoughts. When I think of branding, do you know who the most...
I hate that word branding. I'm sorry.
I do too, but it's so, I know.
Think of something
else.
Being yourself.
It means what it says. It means exactly what the connotation in your mind
branded.
Thinks you of. Branded, just like a cattle. Just
cow,
like a
exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's what you are. But you know, do you know who the most effective marketer on the face of the planet to date is? Hands down, no competition. Harley Davidson.
That is not what I was thought of.
But think about it. Stop and think for a moment.
Hogs and cows
have you ever seen a person with a Pepsi tattoo? Have you ever seen a person with a Pizza Hut tattoo?
Excuse me, I have seen someone with a Hello Kitty tattoo. I think Sanrio is doing some pretty good stuff.
I saw someone with a Domino's tattoo on their butt, okay?
That's impressive. But you'll never see more people than with a Harley Davidson tattoo. And when you've got
where do you live, Chad?
And
well, no, it's Beverly Hills thing too with those the hogs, the Harley,
yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
My uncles all own them.
Well, you know what? That brings up an interesting concept. Isn't that, we're talking branding, but I'm kind of going back in my mind. That's leading me back to tribes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's
yeah.
the word tribes versus twibes, I think that is big.
And that was the point, is that these people know how to tap into such a strong archetype that people are willing to brand their logo into their skin. And there is nothing more effective than that. And that is mm-hmm. effective. You want to talk about really talking to the mass consciousness and getting them to respond? Apparently the people at Harley understand that pretty well because you have millions of people that are willing to put their brand literally in their skin. And that's
I'd like to see some tattoo statistics.
I was driving
there's
down.
There's the researcher in the bunch.
I was driving in LA today, and I saw positive graffiti for the first time. I saw, like, I usually see gang sign members. I was driving by a sign and it said "grow," and I said, "Yeah! If you're gonna graffiti up and dirty up the joint, make it positive energy at least."
That's cool. I wanted a tattoo that said "truth" in Chinese, and then I met a guy and dated him, and he had "truth" in Chinese on his arm, so it was
ruined
forever for me. But I avoided the actual branding. But I do think that that whole sense of the passionate follower, like that idea about like when we talk about Twitter followers or numbers. And you talk mm-hmm. about fans or deep fanatics passionately into it,
right.
Tribes, twibes, you know, that there is community forming happening and that sort of there's the MLM sort of fake, we're all together, number only, not quality. And then there's this passionate view, and that they talk about those are the ones that you want, and that it's relationship-based and
right.
resonance of like-mindedness and passion. It's we share a similar passion that, you know, that really magnetizes us and draws us together and anchors us together. Or I don't know if that's the word anchors, but
well,
makes
what
us
do you think
stick to each other.
The idea of the Twitter stream or Twitterverse, it seems to be more non-local. It seems to be more energetic or vibratory or subtle energy or law of resonance. Because to me, when I think of people that are getting tats, you know, I love tats. I can't live with them because I change my mind too much. You know, I like my hair curly. I like it straight.
Okay.
So I can't do something permanent. But what does that say about me? Anyway, but I think those are kind of like all outer forms. And so I'm just wondering if mm-hmm. we're seeing something different happening, let's say with like the Twitterverse or being in the stream or connecting in the stream. Like, look at all of us. I mean, in a sense, I mean, we knew we had a little avatar. We somewhat know what we look like, but there's a strong connection and resonance and a lot of similar background. I mean, Scott had Just Do You. I had Just Be You. You know, there's writers. You know, there's so many weavings of similarities. But yet we're not outerly branded. So I'm wondering if perhaps in some way social media and specifically Twitter is reflecting maybe a
spiritual
different
brand.
Type.
A spiritual
yeah,
brand.
Maybe, you think?
Not an outer brand. It's an inner. It's what you resonate with inside and what you say, hey, you know, that's worth my energy, my attention, my money, my time, whatever. I think it's more of a spiritual brand. Is what's happening. And the people who understand these archetypes, basically what moves people on a deeper level, those who understand that are going to do a lot better in the stream than those who don't, than those who are just saying, click on my link, click on my link, click on my link.
Well, they may have a lot of followers, though. They may have a lot of numbers. So I don't know if it's necessary a lot, large numbers mean substantive. I'm not sure about that because I've seen a lot of...
No, it doesn't.
No, not at all.
I work behind the scenes with a lot of those people, and it's definitely... It's a big game. They do. Like, I know a lot of people in that community that build up a tremendous fan base of, you know, of, I guess you could call it their tribe, where they lead, and they're very hungry. But it's also, it attracts, you know, the energy, what's going out, that's attracting that same kind of thing back, depending on who the leader is and what's going on behind, you know, behind the scenes there. But it's effective. It's just different. I mean, it doesn't resonate with me. You know, but everyone's got their way.
So Scott, maybe we're talking about what we're. I think you're bringing a good point up, though. If I can just back up a little bit, Scott. So that maybe it's not this either or, good or bad. It's just different. Maybe it's just what
which is kind of like what we were talking about a few minutes ago, which I think I was trying to interject. I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, about the different. I think Chad was talking about. You know, I'm not sure if it's good or bad or you know, whatever road he was going down with that. What I started to feel with that is, you know, right now, while we're sitting here talking about life and soul and spirit and heart, there's people in the world, you know, right now beating somebody up or, you know, killing someone or looking to blow the planet up. So it's like it's always out there. But that just goes back to where's your energy vibrating, who are you attracting, what are you putting out, what's the real you inside, you know, emanating. And that's why we attracted each other, because we're not necessarily looking to go out and hurt anybody.
Except
for Kirsty.
Speak for yourself.
I might break a few hearts, but that's not my intention. I'm taking.
Okay, so I want to go out and rub a bunch of hot fudge on someone's face, but that's the best way.
Very funny, very funny.
There's a lot of rascal energy, a lot of Loki, Mercury.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
There's a lot of trickster. Trickster in a fun way, trickster
but
in a tricky
thing
way.
Is, you
got to
call the trickster. You got to coax the trickster out. You got to welcome the trickster and be the
trickster.
Otherwise, it, the heyoka will.
Yeah, is
it
also Cocopelli?
Yeah, Cocopelli. Well, it's also fertility, Cocopelli.
Okay, now I have to ask you mythology people a really good question. When I was in Chicago and I studied with a Native American for 8 years, they all called me the Heyoki. I totally got it. But my take on that was I'm the dude that rides the horse on the reservation backwards and makes everybody laugh, and while they're laughing, I give them the medicine, a.k.a. the wisdom. Is that an actual archetype? Is that just a trickster or the fool?
Yeah. No, it's actually...
Oh, it is. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, then good. Then
it's
I'm,
a real thing.
I'm that
it's
dude.
Actually
I'm
a real
I'm,
role. I mean, they actually want to ascribe members of the tribe those roles.
That's fake.
That archetype needs to be embodied and brought into that magic needs to be brought into the world because.
Well, then I'm changing my avatar.
Right on.
The other thing, though, it's an aspect of the magician, which some people say could be the. It could be the con artist. It could be the person that elevates you by humor or throwing
also,
you off.
But the most clever fool, because they have to be witty.
Yeah.
The
court jester.
Yeah.
The court jester. Was
but the thing is, and you know, in every group, in group dynamics too, you always have that archetype. And if you, those of you that do comedy or have done any stage work, if you try to shut down the trickster or the heckler, they just get louder. So you have to outsmart them or outmaneuver them or outwit them or out, you know, comedy them. And then the energy goes into neutrality. But so you can't fight or confront the heyoka or the trickster because they have that medicine innately and they could just spin it on you. Or you can't be too pompous and they'll just go, oh, you think you know it all, you know.
So don't mess with me or I'll do something.
You look foolish.
Yeah, you'll look foolish. Exactly.
I'll humiliate you.
Yeah.
I'll poke fun at you, and your hot air will be released.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, that's,
exactly.
And,
wait a minute.
Okay, so,
I resemble that.
You know,
there's
but it
Coyote,
is needed.
There's Loki. It's in Hermes. It's,
well, Hermes
it's in
is,
every. I can't think of one that doesn't have a trickster. I'm sure there must be, or it may be, you know, embodied in several. You know, one character may absorb that, but it's very important magic. Coyote is definitely associated with it.
Right.
And to be able to call it in and have it in yourself, develop it in yourself so you don't trip yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
Does everyone know what their medicine is, out of curiosity?
Probably intuitively.
I do.
I mean, I know. How about you, Chad? Are you saying intuitively, Chad?
No, that was me.
I think I do.
What would you say yours is?
The obvious, that which most people are overlooking. I have a tendency to point that out, and they say, oh, wow, I never thought of that before. And that's what I bring to the table. If that's what you mean by medicine, what you contribute. Mm-hmm.
Or what
yeah.
your archetype, or what your...
Chad is a little Kayoka, magician energy.
And he's also kind of a little bit more confrontational.
Very,
I don't know what the debater.
But Hayoka can be confrontational. Can
oh,
be.
He does it with humor.
It's the shadow. Yeah. It's right. It's
absolutely.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah, because I do that too. I mean, I go like you know, I think we all have mixtures of different pieces,
yeah.
and I think it goes back and forth. But I know.
And things
for,
we step
for
into
me,
at different times.
My medicine is, I believe that. What I seem to resonate with me and passionate about and also seem to get the most response and reflection back is that I help people laugh about finding their soul and getting into the deep spirit and getting into the spiritual teachings. And I also have that edge, this, you know, that Dr. Phil side, like I think Chad's kind of talking about, where you say things that aren't just about, you know, they're not just woo-woo, they're not just fluffy. It's like I always say, I eat woo-woo for breakfast. Because, you know, it's like a lot of people say all these, you know, great little things, and they're not really talking about truth, and they're not really talking about things that are deep. Now, truth can be real truth, or it can be our truth, whatever it may be. But I think it's, to be able to kind of stand out and talk about stuff and say, hey, you know what, no one's talking about this, but we're all thinking it, and I'm going to say it. And
mm-hmm.
I think those are the people in the world that, you know, make a lot of change.
And the court
judge. And get hung.
They don't get hung because
the emperor
it's
is
gesture.
Naked, okay?
It's for
right.
a gesture.
I think
it could
the thing,
make
too.
Fun of the king.
Mm-hmm.
That what?
Well, the
yes.
court jester could always make fun of the king in the presence of the king, and the court would laugh.
Right.
And yet he was the only one allowed to say that. Anyone else would have said that, you get your head cut off.
Exactly.
He's also letting off the scene by letting the truth come out as a joke.
Any king or queen or any, any megalomania, any person that is connected to a lot of power or power over, always has on one side a court jester or someone that makes them laugh and bring in the brevity, and then on the other side, always someone that can prophesy the future of some sort, some type of divination or oracle.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of scenario. They're kind of on the same realm because you're dealing in that in-between world. You know, and just one other thing, because we do have some people calling in, just kind of to let people that are listening, you have your medicine that you come in with, but you're also given at different times integrating other medicine or depending on what you're going through, you know, whether transition or transformation or on an initiatory level, you may learn to consciously weave in or integrate other forms of medicine as well. So we're not stuck or stagnant.
We're not branded forever.
That's right.
I love that. God, now that Chad said about the brand, and I've got it so indelled in my mind now. It's a big, what is that, branding fork? What is that thing called? Whatever
that's
the brand.
Costumes to be put on psychologically, and we can change them. So it's henna tattoos or temporary.
It's the same thing like the human suit, okay?
I heard that, but I've got...
It's
but I've got Scott.
Suit.
I've got the
yeah,
image of the thing that goes on the cow that you know the brands like,
right?
W Ranch or whatever, you know.
Right.
Right.
Well, the thing is, with that, once it's in there, we can always color it in, fill it in with a little stucco or duct tape, and rebrand it.
Yeah, you can get it lasered off.
Right. That's right. We are in the world of laser, and you know what? If you take your eye off it and don't observe it anymore, it's not there anyway.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
There you go.
That's cool.
Let's see, but before we get into the rabbit hole, let's see who is on.
I was thinking we weren't in the rabbit hole yet. I was like, we're not going deep yet. We're just kind of like,
uh-oh.
You know.
Getting deep. Well, you know, there's two schools of thought. The rabbit hole of going into that magic and mystery, but also people living in the rabbit hole of what isn't real. Let's go there. Gary, hold on. We're coming to you.
Let's go everywhere. Where should we go?
Who is the shaman guide taking us?
Let's see what 970-275. You are on Awakenings. Hello.
Hi, everybody. This is Gary Moore. How are you?
Hey, Gary.
Aho. Hello.
Aho.
And bye.
Aho, mahalo.
Hau kola. Donitukaho.
Hello.
We've attracted another trickster. I knew it.
Mashkewo.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Thanks for coming up the same way.
That's
right. You were talking about medicine and things like that. I just wanted to relate a little bit. I've got a bit of a story. I'm of Lakota descent. I have an uncle that's a medicine man on the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone to the Sundance camps and Vision camps, both in South Dakota and Devil's Tower in Wyoming. And I'm a drummer.
Cool.
But I'm also a close-up magician, and I've been to these camps for a very long time. And every year, I would do these little tricks. You know, I would banish a coin, you know, and pull that out of a kid's ear. You know, the kids would gather around, and they just have great fun, you know. So I had this magic going on, the close-up magic. And my uncle would walk by. His name is David Swallow, Jr., and I don't know if you've heard of him. He would walk by and he would say, "How, Iktomi?" He'd call me Iktomi. Iktomi means spider, which is the trickster.
Trickster spider, though. Yeah.
Right.
In the Nazi, or which?
And,
in Lakota? Lakota, you said.
Lakota, yeah. Iktomi.
I have Cherokee.
He'd say,
Navajo.
I would resist it. Okay, I would, no, I don't want nothing to do with no Iktomi medicine. Oh, you're Iktomi. No. And I would resist it. For years, this went on, right? And one year, this was about 5 years ago, I got bit on the top of my foot by a brown recluse spider.
Oh.
And it laid me out. It crippled me for a while. It gave me the fever and made me sick, and I almost needed a skin graft. It put out a nasty bite.
Yeah, it's major.
But I eventually recovered from it.
Mayhem Studios had that.
But what it did was help me to accept Iktomi medicine. So
absolutely.
You were talking about the resisting it and accepting it, and I turned and I accepted it, and I embraced it for what it is. And, yeah, I've got that silly side that I will honor. I'm going to. Mm-hmm. And... it helps me and it helps others, I think, to not take themselves so seriously.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
And,
but let me ask you, Gary, which this is to me a very good example of if you don't embrace what you don't embrace, you know, the shadow ends up getting you. But do you find now that you know how to consciously use that medicine now, if like seeing when that's needed, do you readily tap into that and use that?
Yes, I do. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I do. I do that, and it seems to come when I allow it. It's more about allowing it up. And it seems to come right at the right time, right when it's supposed to happen, or whatever. And it'll make somebody smile or forget about their problems or something for a couple seconds or whatever. And if it does, then I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with it, right? And it's about moving myself out of my own way and just allowing it, because when I try to force it, it doesn't seem to work as well, and it doesn't do as well. So it's about allowing. It's about embracing and allowing and honoring these parts within ourselves, of whatever the medicine that resonates with the individual, you know. Mm-hmm. Your role is what you decide it to be, you define it to be, and when we do that, nobody's going to stand in judgment of us, not now or ever.
Mm-hmm. So well put. Anybody, any thoughts with that?
I say embrace it, too. I mean, I think that's something I had to go through, because I look back way back to when I was a kid, and, you know, I grew up in a pretty serious environment. I mean, there was a few punchlines here and there, but overall it was pretty serious. And I was embracing that trickster at 6, 7, 8 years old, and I let it go for a long time. I looked, you know, as I got, and that's kind of my whole path of how my brand got started. it was that whole thing. I got so serious. Once I found personal development and spiritual growth and all these books and teachers and everything, I got so serious that it got to the point where I was like, if this is fun, then please shoot me. And it was like, I mean, I have to get up and spend 8 hours a day. Like, here's my, I have to go, like, do a salt bath and run an aura cleanse over my face and you know, and do the pendulum to find out all these different things, all these steps that everyone told me I had to do. And I finally just got to that point where I said, you know what, this isn't fun. And once I found the humor in it, then I kind of realized, you know what, this is my natural tendency, not like it was Gary, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not like Gary, you know, like Gary was saying, not trying to force it, just kind of looking at it and going, hey, you know what, I'm looking at that, and that's weird. It's like, you know, I just went through an hour rolfing session, and it's pretty funny, okay? It's like it might transform your life, but meanwhile, I had a guy, like, grabbing me with these huge hands, tossing me around like a piece of hamburger, taking his thumbs in the roof of my mouth and pulling my teeth out and whatever he was doing, and it's like, you know, you start looking at this stuff, and EFT, for God's sake, tap, tap,
oh,
tap, and everywhere you're tapping, and tap here and tap there, and, you know, we take it so serious. But what I think, and it's beautiful work, and that's the thing, I don't want anyone to ever think I'm cynical about it, but I think what I'm getting at is, for me, because that's my personality and my passion and my energy, I just started seeing humor, and I started saying, and I'm going to start saying it. And just like Gary said, it's like when I'm talking to someone who's having a rough day, or maybe they don't have the personality where they feel like they can be that light, you can sit there and give them a little what'd you call it, Michelle? A little tickle? A little divine
tickle. You get tickled. Exactly.
Right?
Tickle.
I know someone that made many millions of dollars with the tingler, okay? So we'll do the divine tickler. And if you give them a little divine tickler, a little divine tickler.
Oh, God,
right,
I see it.
Let's market
it,
baby.
Now.
All right, well, we got
it
here.
I see it now. A wand.
PM.
PM, baby. Divine tickler.
Trademark it. So I think that, you know,
okay,
being able to do that is awesome.
So what's going to happen is next week when you go to my Twitter profile and you click the link, all of a sudden you're going to be taken to a pop-up that says you need to buy the divine tickle.
I already put the Cafe Press Store up.
I see three different accounts with three different niche markets. We'll discuss
them
later.
And we'll be out there going, you know.
Michael Manuel in the chat, allowing is cooperating. And I really think that. I think that... Like what I'm hearing you say, Scott, for you, you found out what kind of works for you. And so to follow that instead of going with the crowd that says, well, you have to do this technique or do this or do that. Otherwise, you're not as evolved. And
Well, I think they take it too seriously. I think, you know, I think what it is, and again, I'm not judging everyone's path. Like you said, this is my path. My path is to look at it, work with it, and lighten it up. Because that's what I enjoy doing. But I think what I've noticed is I look at people's, you know, I'm very intuitive and I'm very, in many ways, clairvoyant. And I could feel energy, I could see energy and all this kind of thing. And I see a lot of people that try so hard with all this stuff, they're not happy. And they're preaching all these things about what you're supposed to do and how to love and do all these steps and walking around with their pendulums and whatever. But their energy is so heavy that they're not having any fun.
Yeah. Or there,
But I think the tool. I think the thing is people get overly focused on the tools that spiritual materialism. They start acquiring tools and they don't go deeper into their process or themselves.
Right.
And it becomes about the tools instead of themselves.
Exactly.
Or they become too passive and they idolize and put the guru on the pedestal and the guru.
That's
just
another.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
put the guru
and
negate the guru's message, you know. I mean, Jesus said that himself. He says, guys, you're not getting it. It's my message. It's not me, it's my message. What did they do? They elevated him, and so much so that it detracted away from the message. And these messages are the same. They're very, very, they point in a parallel direction. Whether it be, you know, Buddha or Jesus or whatever modalities, all spiritual messages, they point in the same direction, you know?
Yep,
and,
we messed them up.
Oh, mysticism does, yes.
Yeah.
And a big one.
An
humor is a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an interesting, though, Eastern point of view that the bigger the following, the more you have to do, the more karma, the more responsibility, and actually the person that is the fool and even maybe the drunkard sitting down and people are, you know, giving him food and money and bringing him in the house and taking care of him, you know, has less karma. You know, it's said that's why animal beings, and usually specifically dogs, incarnate because they're so selfless and so loving that they're really at a high expanded level of consciousness because everyone has to do for them, you know. So anyway, this is an interesting point of view. I'm not saying yes or no, but it is an interesting
I want to just do one quick comment on that, and I'm going to plug a friend of mine's book that needs to be read. It's called The 99th Monkey, and this is a guy, very kindred spirit of mine. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I met him. I read his book, and his name's Eliezer Sobel. And he literally went on that wild and wacky path like I'm talking about, but he did it like for 20 years, and he was like a journalist, and he was working behind the scenes with all these gurus. And the stories you read, you will, I mean, laugh your little pants off. I mean, it's unbelievable the way he he's got that deep wisdom and that deep heart that he shares in there. But some of the stories that you see about what goes on behind the so-called gurus' doors and the things they were doing, it's very interesting.
Oh, I know some of them personally, having
experienced
that. Yeah, the unevolved chat. And that's why I'm like, you know what? I love that divine download that you just gave, but, you know, you have your stuff. And I think that's where more people have to move into that place of empowerment and not idolize the guru, right? You know, I would say, Obama, look at the concept, but not the person.
Yep.
He's going to disappoint. You know, humans are going to disappoint. Chad, where are you?
I'm listening.
Exactly.
About the cowboy.
He's writing a book while we talk.
I am. I don't think all up. You got to be listening, buddy.
I'm listening. I like to listen. I learn when I listen and not so much when I talk. I try to be quiet as possible. It doesn't really
What do you think? Because I know you're... What do you think of the whole guru, which simply just means teacher, principal?
G-U-R-U.
I think that... G-U-R-U.
G-U-R-U. I like that.
That's nice. I like that.
Is that a Scottism?
No, that's actually from the movie The Love Guru from Michael Myers. Like,
I've seen
Guru,
it.
That was a great movie.
I loved it. It didn't do well, but I loved it.
I know. He's great. Anyway, go on.
I think people get caught up in it, Michelle, in the guru, either the title, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
They get caught up in it, and they lose the message. They also get confused in thinking that I am the message. The things that come through me are not me. Are not always me. You can ask my wife. She'll be the first to tell you, wait a minute, you write all this great stuff, you put this stuff in books, you say these things, and yet you don't exactly, you know, live it. And that's true. And that's very true. Because just because I have the ability to intuit the message doesn't mean I'm your guru. Doesn't mean I'm your savior. It doesn't mean I'm even able to accomplish what it is I can say. I didn't ask to see this. I just type what I see. I repeat what I'm given, like most poets. That doesn't make me a nice guy.
That's extremely well said, by the way, and I think that everybody who's on the personal development path needs to hear that, because I think that's what it is. I think that any of us that are teaching, or even like people that are put, you know, false gods that are put on pedestals in Hollywood, they're just doing what's kind of coming through them. It doesn't make them like we're all kind of on the same road. And just because we download wisdom or channel wisdom doesn't mean that, you know, we need to have, well, I do. I like to have actually, you know, rose petals rolled out in front of me as I walk.
Yeah, it doesn't make us the next Messiah, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
Not me. I have every workshop.
Ego attachment to what it is.
I always say, listen, don't focus. There's always the other side. There's always, because you're right, it's an aspect of you. It's something you're downloading from the collective or the all that is, but it's not you.
It's
and
not
I think
you.
That's, you know what, Scott, what you're saying, and Chad, what you're saying, and I guess all of us are singing to each other on this one. To me, because I'm thinking of some people that I know that are doing some trippy things, and these are well-known teachers out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, Yeah.
But that's the whole thing, but they wouldn't say that.
I know what you mean.
No, I know, and that's the hard thing. And, you know, when I'll do these my classes, I'll say, listen, you guys, you don't – that person just, you know, don't put that on them because they're
right.
human. But I think the thing is if they would just come out and be honest with themselves, people aren't going to believe anyway that they're
– Yeah.
however they are, because they're already idolizing them. The projection is there. Mm-hmm. So you might as well be honest anyway and say, hey, yeah, listen, I'm this way too. Or I'm just like, you might as well say it. No one's going to believe it anyway.
And I think we're day and age. Aren't we in that
day
and age?
I think so. I think you're onto something. You know, it's the step forward. Find your voice. Step forward into your truth. Stand in your truth. Let's stop turning our power, putting our power into the hands of others whom may not have our best interest at heart. Isn't that how we kind of got ourselves in this mess to begin with?
Yes.
And it's to develop that power, to step into that power, and how we are all becoming the avatars of the past. All
Gary, I'm inviting you. This is a nice pitch, and it's a free community. I'm inviting you because I want you in. Just doyourevolution.ning.com. Join that community. We need your voice.
Oh,
it's all about
okay.
That's our entire message. That's
spell it out for me. I'm tweeting these up.
That is why I got back into broadcasting. You know, I had to go where I had to go and get what I had to get and wind up how I wound up, and now I'm back. And the message is simple. And the message is, you are that which you call God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop looking over our heads somewhere. You know, to put that a different way, you're part of the way that the universe has become aware of itself.
Well, I would say, well, stop seeking, start finding and being. Just start being.
Exactly.
Stop all this looking and seeking.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Just be.
Well, that's coming from the place of power instead of giving it to everybody else, like we've all been trained to do at some level.
Mm-hmm.
We have been doing it for so long.
Let's have non-attachment to teachings or people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, if you're in that meditative state, if you're really in the present time or present moment, you don't have an attachment to a teaching or dogma because you're just responding. You're not reacting.
Exactly.
You're reacting, right? You're
mm-hmm.
Acting from what has happened before. So that's a good point.
And you're being the channel. My uncle would call it be a hollow bone. Just allow that light in and through us and out to the world. And
nice.
And
you know,
keep in mind
we
that
can all do that.
Not only can we all do it, but it's something to keep in mind that Albert Einstein was not a nice guy. The people who knew Albert didn't have anything favorable to say about him. He preferred to stay to himself. He didn't really follow a lot of social traditions and all these things. He was not a liked person. People do not get written into our history books for being likable.
Amen, brother.
Unless I can count them on my hand. I mean, there's Mother Teresa. There's some people that, yes, they got admitted into the history books because they were so nice that they were recorded. But most people are here recorded for what they contribute, not the type of person that they were. And that's something to remember.
It doesn't hurt, though. I think if I may add my two cents on that, I think it comes down to me, I think the contribution's a big chunk of that, and so also is truth. So it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone that makes a contribution isn't a nice person. I don't think anybody was taking it that way, but just to clarify that.
Sure.
But I think that, you may have said, the people that change the world aren't sheep. They don't, you know, follow the sheep and the group conscious. I call them sheepwalkers.
Yeah.
You know, that's not who changes the world. The people that say, hey, you know what? The emperor's nude, okay? Get over it. Let's do something about it. Get them some clothes or we all get naked too. What's going on?
And
I think
that's the honesty that they would contribute, whereas Einstein contributed his knowledge of, you know, the physics, or Edison giving his.
Yeah.
All these people that
Mother Teresa and whoever else
that contributed, they're contributing a knowledge, but it doesn't mean that they themselves were the guru, and that's where back to where the original question was. I think people are get too caught up in that. They think, wow, just because I can intuit this or I can see this, that must mean I'm great because I can see great things, and that's not always the case. In fact, rarely so.
But
in fact,
I think
a lot of the great people.
Except with me as a channel, yes. I'm living it all the time. No, I'm just kidding.
I just put a little yoga in.
At
you're
the same
very grounded.
Time, though,
Michelle
if you're,
is a teacher
if you're
and
channeling,
a guru.
If you're channeling that energy, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, if we're channeling that energy and you're contemplating that wisdom and it's coming to you through downloads and you're aware and you're conscious, it's, I'm not saying you turn into a guru, you know, G-U-R-U, but you do at some level.
Yeah.
And I think that you can't help but as you become more and more aware and you spend more time in having that stuff come through you and realize that you're here to serve and all that kind of stuff and make fun of people, then, you know, hello.
The thing is, it's just a part, though. That's the thing. I mean, years ago, I remember I had this, you know, the paper and all this stuff. And this boyfriend of mine was like, Michelle, how come you're not like how you are in session or with your clients? And I said, because I'm not in session. That's why, you know, it's
right.
Like, okay, you know. Like, because you pissed me off. So, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, but I think that to, you know, why would you want to be in a wall or walled, or why would you want to be on a platform or a pedestal? I mean, why would
Michelle,
you?
Michelle, don't get caught up in the guru poo-poo.
That's right.
Do you like
that?
That's
great.
That's so cute, yeah.
It's all about the guru poo-poo.
Great. That's
gone viral, shall we say.
It's going viral. I got a TM next to that one, too.
Yeah,
oh, God, that's great.
Oh, please. Oh, my God.
I know. If we had a TM for every time we get some cool idea going through, it's like, oh, my God.
That's hot.
Oh, yeah. That's hot.
But watch out. Watch out. Don't step in any guru poo-poo.
I'll do that. There you go.
Hey, you know, I still have that. I still have that divine mission. I think you guys are the guys that helped me do this. I want to do a guru roast really bad.
Ooh, yes, I'm still there.
Ooh, a guru
I want to
roast.
I want to get like Wayne
Ooh,
Dyer
God.
And T. Harv Eker.
Well, you are.
Yeah,
you
get,
are.
Get Wayne Dyer up there. If you
oh,
get Wayne Dyer, I will do my very best Foster Brooks.
Let's do it. Oh, God, Foster Brooks, now you've shared your age, and I, the fact
you
that I get
roast
that
him?
Makes me share my
oh,
age.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
It's like, yeah, you do. It's like if I see you walk down the pants or walk down the beach with your pants rolled up one more time, or tell me about the black guys and the tennis ball and stuff, and I'm going to kill myself. It's just like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like when you read all the material, you kind of have the little inside jokes and Tony Robbins with his, you know, with the bathtub and the dishes, and they've all got stories. It's so funny. And it's like, Deepak, laugh once
Wayne
in a while.
Dyer
let's go, let's party.
Wayne Dyer with his racehorses.
Yep.
You know.
But I think it's fun. I think we need to make like a Guru's Gone Wild or something.
I want to invite Ryza. You know that, right? I want to invite Ryza. If we're going to have a guru poo-poo, then I definitely would like Rich to be there.
Oh, definitely.
Ooh,
roast him, too.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm not
Ryza.
The greatest guy.
Yeah,
well, I don't.
I'm interjecting
I keep
here. Yes, we do take questions in the chat. Yes, we do take questions in the chat.
That's right. We're
just
too busy planting our gum.
There's a lot of trickster going on.
Time for promo. You have surfed into Awakenings Radio. 347-539-5122 is the call-in number. We did have a Skype call come
in.
Call in if you dare.
Who is it? And also, yes, we do take questions in the chat. You just need to type in caps or just be patient and I'll see the questions. We've got
and
Gary
listen,
Moore
everybody,
here.
Thank you, Michelle.
Brandon
I'm going to have to jump off.
Okay.
Thanks,
Gary. Are you on Twitter? Where can we reach you?
Yeah, where are you at on
you
Twitter, Gary?
You can reach
Gary?
Me through Blog Talk Radio. Are you in the chat room? Or do you,
I can put
you?
It in the chat. I'm in the chat. I can put
yeah,
it in the chat.
Or,
do you want people to find you? Tell us how to find
or
you.
Or just Gary Moore on Facebook. You know,
is that M-O-O-R-E?
He's on my – we're friends. Look at my little
– yeah, Michelle and I are friends.
Yeah.
Oh, it was staged.
I'm on Facebook.
Yeah.
Kirsten's on Facebook.
Gary Moore on Facebook. Done.
Okay.
Putting your
excellent.
Thank you. You're awesome.
Thank you all.
Yeah,
come again.
You've got a great DJ voice, by the way. I could see
he
why you're
definitely
DJ.
Does.
You
and
see my face.
And the wisdom to back it up.
Face made for radio?
I got the perfect face for radio, exactly. Thank you, everybody.
Have a good night, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll talk
you.
Bye-bye.
Moonlight Bye. Great. Don't sip into the guru poo-poo. What a song.
I hear a jingle.
Don't step in the guru poo-poo. We're going to tingle you. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right.
I'm going to tingle you, too.
Right.
You're
going
to see my pop-up.
Oh, my God.
That's it.
Poor Chad, he's like, how did I get in with this group?
No, I love it. The guru poo-poo. I mean, that is a serious, a psychological archetype that people are feeling right now, and I think they're actually
Chad,
pretty much...
Chad, you seem like a bit
I
of
know
a
I am.
Dude with a good sense of humor, but you got a healthy sense of cynicism, and you fight some battles, man. You got some sort of warrior vibe going on there, don't you
Who's
think?
That?
You, like, take on... Chad, he takes on the hard fights. He, like, goes right
yeah,
there and takes
true.
It to him.
Warrior
dream. And I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't even know why.
It's you. It's not
but,
good or
but
bad.
It is
it's
what
you.
It is. It's, yeah, it has a place. It needs a place.
Huh.
It's stimulating. You know, it
yeah,
it sparks. You know, it starts it's fires. It gets ideas going.
Oh.
It gets exchange, debate. No,
I
mean, I kind of watch it in awe and hope it doesn't, you know, explode sometimes. But, wow.
I love it.
Can we say you got balls, you know, or you got teeth balls there, man. You put it out there.
Cajones.
Cajones. Cajones.
Well,
what's
I like...
What's your cajones on the...
Cajones de oro.
Yeah. Fireballs?
Chad, I'm giving you gold balls, okay?
Holy caracos. Now we've officially gone down to step four of the rabbit hole.
Okay.
Now we have gold balls
okay,
and we're stepping in guru poo-poo.
After hours.
That's great.
Chat. This is awakening
when
after
do we meet
hours.
The Cheshire Cat? That's what I want to know.
See, but all that time learning French and German, and it's useless here because without...
Mais je parle français.
Yeah, oui, oui, je le parle français un peu. Je prends de la congé dans la...
What?
What are you talking about? I can do that too.
It's
like,
I know,
it's
like, dude, what was that? That sounded like a wine, a verbal.
Wait, I'm channeling Jacques Cousteau for a minute. Hold on. Oh, you caramba.
Unless you can speak Spanish, you can't even order off the menu in LA. So it's useless.
Wow.
I learned so many useless languages. It's sad.
I think
language
them.
Is interesting. Does anyone want to talk about language?
I'll talk about anything with you because you're funny.
Well, good. I think it's very interesting that if you speak other languages, you'll notice there's a mindset or a certain kind
yeah.
of things that seem more possible.
Yeah.
A certain
mm-hmm.
kind of, I don't know if it's a vibe or
mm-hmm.
it's like you can't imagine things. There aren't words for it in certain ways. Certain things are more easily
okay.
embodied and expressed. And I've tried on several languages and lived in several countries and it's fun to try those skins on, you know, those
you need
those mindsets.
Stretch.
In most other languages, the describing adjective is always after the verb or after the noun. And in French, German, Spanish, it's not a white house, it's a house white. It's the verbs
mm-hmm.
or the describing adjectives are always after it. And in those languages, things are more possible because of the adjective that describes it is usually infinite. It could be a white, large, you know, whatever house, and they can go on and on, especially in German, to include specifically exactly what they're talking about, whereas in English, we don't have a frame of reference for a lot of possibilities. And I think
do you
language,
think that English is the language of tweet? I know that they do it in French, and I know they do it in Spanish, and I know they do it in Chinese, but do you think the English language lends itself
to language
of
science. It's the language of science. It is what it's designed to be, and that's why it's been adopted for business. And that's
mm-hmm.
why if you do business
one
in
the
world,
yeah.
you speak English. It's not easy in the sense of a lot of our words. We have many, many words for the same thing, and you can only know
mm-hmm.
the definition by context. So that's very difficult for someone like coming from a German background where every word has a very specific meaning, and by compounding words, the meaning compounds. It changes.
Right. But I'm thinking
and
even
so,
things like Italian or Spanish where they have like words for, like what you were saying, like there could be the white book that's right here,
the adjective,
or the white book.
Go on and
right,
on
but also
after
the book
it.
That I read. That I read 5 minutes ago, or there's words to describe a book that one read weeks ago, and then maybe one that read 10 years ago.
What I like about French is that things are feminine or masculine. We don't have, I mean, our words are just words. They don't have a connotation behind it, whereas in other languages, things have a connotation, an energy attached to them. Maybe that's a feminine energy. Table is feminine. And it's just such a different mindset. But I think actually when it comes down to our psychology and in the greater things, I think we all speak the same language. And I don't think it's English. I don't think it's French. I don't think it's German. Our soul has a language of its own, and we speak in images. When you think, it's not in words, it's in pictures. You see in images about 2,500 a minute, very quick, very rapid. You see lots of things. We translate what we see into a language or a vocabulary that we know, but really the soul knows a different language. We see in images, and if ever we get to communicate, kind of like Twitter in the sense that we are mind to mind, we're not face to face, we don't have all the little irritations of physicality involved, you're just mind to mind. And when that occurs, I think that it opens up a whole new language, a whole new way of communicating where we don't have physical presence in the way, and even words themselves don't get in the way. Meanings are different when you're mind to mind.
I think that you can project into what you don't know what you need to hear or see or receive. You know what I mean? That not knowing more of the specifics, it allows us on a spiritual level to get what we need individually.
Mm-hmm.
The more known you are, the more specific you are, the more explicit, maybe the less you can be sort of you're more filtered in our minds. We can hear it with less judgment and more openness when we are imagining who you are.
Maybe.
You know,
don't you find,
that.
I find just like with poetry, it's not so much, the words are beautiful, but it's the energy and the feeling behind the words.
Yeah,
it's the meaning, but it's the subtle energy of what's coming through. And some people are better or more adept at perhaps tuning into that or, you know, reading that. You know, it's almost you're getting the information and the feeling telepathically. You're getting it beyond the, you know, physical eyes, beyond the mental plane. Yes?
You and I retweet a lot of technical data, and sometimes there's room to put a little bit of your personal take, maybe humor, sarcasm, approval, a yay. You know, there's not that many characters to put you onto that. But my intention when I'm sharing that is usually, this is interesting. I'm into this, and I'm supposedly, hopefully, by retweeting it, I'm saying, I think this is kind of cool. I'm into it. Do you feel that way? I know I retweet a lot, and I don't necessarily write as much as Chad or Scott. Original material, put it out there, nuggets of poetry, you know? And I'm wondering how the whole retweet thing is being rethought, and I'm wondering, it seems like we're echoing each other.
Yeah, I think the one thing with this retreat thing being rethought, in which hopefully, and here's the deal, if Twitter keeps doing these kinds of things, it breaks up the stream, because they already broke up the stream where if people aren't following you, you're not on their stream if you're following them. It's doing what our Western culture, patriarchal focus, overly patriarchal focus likes to do. It's control and separating out. So the retweeting is doing that as well. Huh?
Got to keep them separated.
Yeah, right.
And
believe me, as an intuitive channel, whatever, empath, I noticed it when the shift happened. I think I even talked to you, Chad. I said, something's different in the stream.
Yeah.
There's something that happened. And then I later heard that, if you're following people but they're not following you, then they're not getting...
Think about how dangerous it is to have millions of people like mindsets being able to talk to each other.
Yeah. And see, the way
I didn't catch that. Would you repeat that? Maybe other people didn't know what happened. If you are not following them.
No, if they're not following you, it used to be in the beginning, at least when I got on, I haven't been on, I think I was on since, I don't know, June or something, that May or June, when you, if you were following someone, but they weren't following you, you would still show up in their stream with the retweets and replies. And so there really was this the synergy, the energy was really even more palpable. Now also what's happening is what they're going to be doing is with the RTs, they're going to take the RTs away, and when you retweet something, it's only going to come at the original person that tweeted it. Now what that does then, because what's been happening with the RTs is there's this wonderful rapport happening with, like what you were just saying, Kirsten, like, hey, I liked that, or that was great, or I learned from that. So you put a little bit of your energy there, and then that person that you retweeted says, well, you're not just retweeting me just to retweet. You really got that, and now you're commenting. So now there's this dialogue through the retweets that's taking place, and this synergy begins to build. That's going to be cut off.
Well, you know, that's not. I don't think that's true on applications like TweetDeck. I think it's true on the web.
Okay, I don't know about that. I've just read something.
I think
I know
that might
about
be happening, and if it doesn't, because I don't think, because I noticed, I started seeing that pop up on the web already. They have it in beta, and so you can't really retweet that way that it was, I don't think, or at least they took it away for a little bit. But on TweetDeck, I know you still have that arrow that lets you retweet, or at the end of the day, you know, if you have a little savvy, you can always put a via, you know, or put your own RT in there or whatever. What are they going to do? I mean,
well, that's what I was thinking of doing. Yeah. How would that? That's what I. You got me, Scott.
Anyway.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, just keep doing it. So there's that rapport.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because otherwise, I mean, we're used to it and it makes sense because you're giving someone credit.
Yeah.
And you're
building
rapport,
other way you would be giving him credit, but the thing is you're separating. In other words, it would be just like me giving someone another mention, but it doesn't open that space for dialogue.
Well, yeah,
and
they're losing the energy of other people saying yes.
Yeah,
it's
and
kind
also
of invisible,
I think
right?
It was Alex. I'm not sure the last name, but he brought up a good point that when you have the RTs and you start responding back and forth, it's actually a form of community building. You start getting your tribe. You start connecting, and this totally cuts right into that, which I found interesting at this juncture why they would want to do that. They said they're trying to cut down on the noise, that if that person's not following you, it's not worth it.
Well, I had a lot of people so they're saying that are not following you, or I've had a lot of people like reply at me and kind of put my name on something that has nothing to do with me and I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like parasitically hanging off of your name and trying to
blend
it.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Because
you don't
follow Friday. Like, I'm like, I didn't follow Friday, you. What are
you
talking
what I mean?
About?
Like, stuff that I wouldn't endorse or, you know, and it's like, it's hard to not be negative, and you don't want to click on it, and you don't exactly know what to do. It's interesting. I don't know if that'll solve that problem.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the reasons they're doing it, because they're saying certain people, you know, name names, but some of them really larger techie peak types are not wanting, they're saying it is at noise. But then otherwise, then you might as well go in your little cubicle in Silicon Valley and just tweet with each other then. So what's the shared experience?
You can't sterilize it.
What if Twitter worked the other way? What if the day you signed up and started a profile, you were connected to 9 million people or 12 million people?
Ooh, and
right, exactly, and you could disconnect with whoever you didn't want to hear, but you would actually be connected with everyone, and that would actually be an amazing tool, and I don't know why they never considered that, because it really would. It would make everybody be able to talk to everyone. It would give everyone immediately starting out the same reach as Oprah, and then you would work backwards. Those who did not want to listen to you would disconnect.
Oh, God, that would freak people out, Chad.
Hey,
right.
I had 1,000, I had 10,000, and now I have, you know, I lost, what did I say? I think
it's like having your own reality show, like right when you start.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it'd be a blast.
If you got it, yep. And if you blow it, if you're an idiot, taking all the luck. Otherwise, you got a potential chance. One good tweak could you know, change.
Yeah, why not? I know, and that's what we're doing in reverse. Everyone's trying to get, you know, everyone to listen. Everyone's trying to impact.
Well, you know, and that's a whole other can of worms because it's like, you know, if you have a million followers, like everyone's, oh, I got a million followers, or I got half. It's like, yeah, you think they're really paying attention to you, all those people? Doubtful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got I'm following almost 29,000 people. And I have my group of maybe 100 or 200 people that I, and every time I meet someone new that I like, I always try and, you know, put them in a group so I can kind of watch them. But it's hard. It's hard when you reciprocate and people follow you and you're watching your Twitter stream on the left and going, oh, my God, wait, I almost, oh, I disappeared again because another 100 tweets just came rolling by. So
yeah.
Imagine
what
having, you know.
What is tweet management?
How about,
have you found?
This is very interesting that my computer, one of them, the second one, has this today now little spaceship on there. That is very, and I can't get out of that. That is weird. I don't know how that happened. Anyway, I wish you guys could see that. That was very strange. Anyway, what I was going to say before I was kind of taken aback, it was like this pyramid thing. It was like the screen went all dark, not on the computer that I do my recording out of, but my other computer. It just, the screen was all dark, and there was this, like, looked like a pyramid shape thing, and then at the very top of it was this, like, ball of light. So.
That's pretty cool.
Maybe there's a UFO hacker or something. I don't know.
We have a new computer. We are going to send out links.
Yeah, you're going to send out links on Twitter.
I totally want to go to the Black Hat conference.
After I tweeted Chad.
Well, there you go. Of course.
I get in trouble. I mean, if you're talking about a pyramid with a light on top, that sounds Illuminati to me. But we're not supposed to say that out loud. Kid.
Yeah.
So,
there goes Chad with his pyramid schemes again.
I didn't make
that. Well, you find maybe that it has to do with, like, you're going to get who you need to connect with, maybe?
Well, that's what I said last week. I mean, I'm a big believer, kind of like I was talking about with all this business and branding and everything else. I just gotten to that point where I just have that belief and that experience that the people, and it sounds all woo-woo, but it just seems to happen. I think the people, I mean, we just met, all of us on this call, at least from my perspective, I don't know, you guys have all been talking about or amongst yourselves for a long time, but I just met all of you like a week or two ago, and we were on the radio last week already, and we're like tweeting and we're best friends. Now, how did that happen? I mean, where did that come from? I don't know where that came from. I mean, there's like 29,000 people on my stream. I don't know where it came from. And it just showed up.
Types. You connect with it. And when you feel that, that's the real power that's going on here is people get to know each other much better in these tweets than you do in conversations where 90% of the shit you say is just babble anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I read an article not too long ago that talked about that the reason Twitter's so powerful outside of things like marketing or, you know, whatever, is the 140 or less thing is kind of how we think. It's our stream of consciousness.
Oh, yeah, feels like that.
And
so
that's
you're
different
saying,
than,
like,
you know,
less than those characters, only those
what's that?
thinking in short terms
of consciousness. That's the size that consciousness comes in.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like in some ways Twitter was perfectly designed for conscious downloads.
Yeah.
Little bursts of energy, and I think that's why it's taken off so much more. And it's a whole different than writing a long, huge blog post. It's like, you know, they originally called it a microblog, right? Microblogging. But when you really think about it, you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I just got this cool thing that just popped through. Boom, boom, boom. Type, click, done. It's out there. But it was just a thought.
Is it a thought riff? What is it? What is it? Nice.
I mean, it feels
what's
like that to me. It's like a thought. It's like a blurb. It's like a divine
a nugget.
Whatever.
It's not nugget.
Okay. Nugget or whatever. If you think about it, you know, your rational mind or consciousness, surface mind, can only handle about 7 I think it's 7.8 bits of information.
Yeah.
Whereas the collective unconscious, that non-local mind, is infinite. So maybe it's just enough to connect in with someone to get them to expand out more if they need to, want to, or have the time. But if not, it's just enough that it doesn't cause an overload.
Yeah.
And
I think, you know, only people like us are probably thinking about this. There's probably, I think most people are just like, hey, I'm going to say this. Ooh, click on my link. Or do.
No, that's what it is. It does let you find your people.
Yeah.
Your tribe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the suburbs. I'm not saying there aren't the shaman out here. There may very well be. But I don't have these kind of conversations day to day because not that many people want to go there or we feel comfortable going there. Or even necessarily in previous conversations we've had on the radio, was that where the conversation was meant to go. But I'm drawn to people that want to go down the rabbit hole.
You know what's so interesting, too? What's really interesting to me is, like, I've gotten to a point in my life, and it's been quite a while now, it's probably a good 3 to 5 years, that I'm very uninterested in shallow conversations and meaningless kind of, and, you know, hey, it's all good to talk about whatever and have a joke, but it's like, I want to talk about cool stuff, important stuff, you know, like life and the human journey and the soul and evolution. And that's, you know, again, we all are who we are, but I can't hang around with people that don't want to have, you know, don't want to go into some, I mean, we can all talk to anybody, but the preference has gone down to, it's like, I want to hang out with people that like to go down the rabbit hole and hang out and laugh too and have a lot of fun. But it's like having those surfacey conversations.
And are really fun,
like,
to party with. But
yeah.
They're enlightened, yeah. Rockin'. What was the one we came up with last night? Rockin'.
Spiritual rockers, yeah.
Yeah.
My Metallica on, spiritual rockers.
Oh, God, we got another, that's our third brand for the night, for God's sake.
I said Fat Boy Slim.
Spiritual rockers, TM.
Listen, I said Fat Boy Slim was my contribution. Oh, wait, I said The Prodigy, too. I said The Prodigy. And something else in the Fat Boy Slim.
So let's talk about the rabbit hole. What really happened, Scott?
What happened?
Yeah.
Well,
the
whole thing's funny with that because I don't even think I know the total meaning of the rabbit hole other than, you know, watching like Alice in Wonderland and maybe What the Bleep a little bit. But for some reason, that's really come to my consciousness today because it feels like a safe place to go gather cool energy and, you know, kind of like swallowing the red pill in the Matrix that we talked about last week too.
Yeah,
it feels like it's
kind of
like almost like a community. Like the rabbit hole could be huge with a bunch of, you know, people that are down there that are on the same path. And to me, it's kind of a place to go hang out, bring your carrots, you know, bring your viral tweeter or whatever, and hang out, download, get cool information, get some really neat conscious stuff that comes up, and then go out and take it out to the world. It's like I always think, for some reason it just popped in my head about Stuart Wilde, where he always called group consciousness TikTok. And again, you know, he's a little funny and sarcastic too. So
yeah.
He's a little
edgy.
He's a little trickster,
yeah.
And he was my very first teacher. Gee, what do you think of that?
Spell his name.
And so, you know, and I like that. And he said our job is to pull out of TikTok, raise our energy,
yeah,
and then go back detached and go back and do our thing. And, of course, he had the other part. It's like, you know, raise your energy, and then when people show up, you bill them, which is, you know, the marketing side.
Yeah, he's a big marketer, but he was dialed in.
Yeah, he was. And I think that's kind of what I gather. I think it's like it's a place to metaphorically detach from the noise and the group consciousness and the media and the negativity and the illusions and all that stuff, and go in there and get your power and, you know, put your cape on, or actually take your cape off when you go down there, but then you come out and you get your cape back on. You're like, all right, I'm going into the world with the craziness, but I'm going to be detached, and I'm going to share my wisdom and my goofy medicine called laughter.
I think you have to. You have to pull out. You have to unplug.
Well, yeah. I lived in the cave for a long time, and that was when all of a sudden I'm like, oh, what happened to all the money I had? It's like That's not, no, I went through that route. So I'm all about being in the world, but first and foremost, it's always tapping in and staying attached to who I really am and what I believe is, like, you know, writing the script around here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but then it's going back in the world.
Yeah, the proverbial not to live in the cave. I mean, I think it's having this, the expanded consciousness, being awake, being aware, but also being in the play of consciousness, being able to play, being, you know, like you say, you're human, you're in, you know, this.
Well, it's the human suit thing, right? I mean, it's like that's, you know, we're here to, like, go out and party. I mean, you know, one of the places I'm getting to right now, and I won't go into the whole, maybe we'll save this for the advanced rabbit hole teachings, but there's a new download I've had that this whole thing, this whole life game, and we've alluded to the fact that we've talked about illusion and you know, you hear it in all the woo-woo circles, but I'm starting to really get it, what that really means. And what I'm gathering is that, you know, we've never been separate. We've never, but we think we are, and that's the whole thing of, like, you know, we think we're spirits living in human suits who think we're the suits. And so we get caught up in that. But the game, the mission, what I'm kind of gathering lately is that our divine mission, our higher self, or whatever part of us that we are, put us in this game, in this hologram, to and the game is to try and limit infiniteness. And we mm-hmm. that's the whole part of that game. And it's like there's like a level one and a level two, where it's like level one is you're completely asleep and you think that, yeah, life hurts or life sucks or it's a struggle or I'm broke or this or that. And then when you start realizing that that's just a illusion, a game that spirit or our higher self or you know, divine consciousness or God or universe, whatever, put in this game as part of the illusion. So, and our job is to wake up, pull back, and go visit the dude and hang out behind the projector that's pushing that light through that pattern into the hologram, and we're just the main characters there. So once we merge the main character with the guy behind the projector, everything changes. Now, I think we just went a little notch deeper down the hole.
Yeah.
No,
I'm
living
like
that. I don't know. I've been living in that space, so I'm just,
yeah.
I'm, you know.
Yeah.
It's. I think that some people, depending on your programming or conditioning, got disconnected from that. I definitely know kids, especially from birth till about 8, usually, and for some only 4 or 5, are definitely remain tapped in. It's like the socialization.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Process kind of.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one time teaching, and one of the little Johnny Florida says to me, "Miss Michelle, where's your other car?" And of course, because I'd done a lot of past life regression stuff, I didn't say, "Oh, I don't have another." I said, "Which one?" He goes, "The one you had last lifetime. That's it's different."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Oh, I didn't, Johnny, I didn't bring that. I've got a different
that's right,
one."
That's right, I left that one on the other side.
I know, exactly. And he goes, "Oh, okay."
It's got a little rust on it now.
A little 4-year-old in the sandbox looking up at me saying, "The one you had last lifetime."
Isn't that beautiful?
I was like, I know. I was like, whoa, you know.
I know, it's
and
so
definitely
funny. And I think that's why when we see kids, like I was out today and I just, it's almost like I lose all the stuff that's outside of me. Whenever I see a bunch of kids playing or hanging out, I'm just like, wow, look at all those, like, just fully alive, tapped in spiritual energies. Like, their eyes, just watching them, like they're 2 and 3 and 4 years old, you just know that they're just so alive still.
And how to keep
you
them
know.
In that.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's the interesting.
Wow, they're like,
yeah.
Maybe that's the next...
Yeah, maybe that'll be the next phase.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you how do you get into the rabbit hole? How do you dive in? Any thoughts of that
become
for people?
Become the projector.
Become the projector.
What he said was about that we get caught up in the projector thing. Becoming the projector is how you go further into the rabbit hole, I think.
Yeah.
Projector and the projectee.
And I guess my take on it is become the guy behind the projector. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's all semantics, but it's you definitely want to do something with the projector or behind it. You don't want to think everything is behind you.
Well, or also move just instead of going in mind, move into consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, where consciousness made manifest. So go before the manifestation into the consciousness.
Right.
You want to put your movie on the screen.
Yep.
Your thought.
Definitely that too, Chad.
So here's the question, as long as we're really deep here, and, and we've already, you know, we're after hours. here's my question for the crowd.
For the
I'd love to hear this answer. Is what is the higher self that we always hear about? And, you know, we hear about the soul, the higher self, and then us. It's like, is it all part of one of the same? Are we all, are they different pieces? It's like,
gotta keep them separated. That's what they want to do. Gotta keep them separated.
That's what they want to do. I am tweeting this on the planet Palladian right now.
If you ever become all of them, you will win. If you ever become all of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's
separated.
And I think that's what I keep getting. I'm like, you know what? It's like, I don't know for sure what's going on there, but I know the more I take the dude, it's like when I meditate right now, and this will be, you know, weird for anyone. I mean, not us, but maybe some other people think I'm going to be really wacky. But when I meditate,
Don't worry.
I say, you know what? You know, first I always start with, I'm not this human suit, because I like to laugh when I meditate. So I go, I'm not this human suit, and I'm not these thoughts. And then I go, I'm not even the character named Scott Brandon Hoffman. And then I see myself going behind the projector and hanging out with the other part, and I'm like, let's do this. Let's rock. And it's like,
love it.
It's just
that's
really
an awesome mantra. You should TM that one.
Well, let's do this. Let's rock.
Yeah.
Let's rock.
Well, I'm not
hiding.
I'm that
not be our tagline for spiritual rock.
I'm not
there.
Even this character, Scott.
Yeah. Well, that's like the new thing that I've been meditating on, and I'm like, I like that because, I mean, I've always seen as just a big story here, and it's like, you know what, it's like, I am so not whatever that is right there, and it's like, and then, you know, you learn from it, the dark side, whatever, but when you realize that at some level there, it's like, it's just this, it's a movie, it's a projection, it's a wild thing, and it's like, the more you realize that, that's where, to me, that's where the humor comes from, and I remember my Native American teachers and my other really cool Swami Guru dude who was out in Maui was always laughing, and they always said that it's like the reason all the master teachers are laughing is because they see the drama that you're stuck in, and they see the truth, and so they're laughing because it's so ridiculous, and it's like that's the whole part of it. I think when you wake up you tend to laugh a lot more because it's silly.
Divine play. It's just
It's a cosmic joke.
But I think on one level there's levels, you know. I think at one point, if you begin releasing, you know, the tools or the constructs, you are that. It's like in the you know, the Hindu mantra, I am that I am, so ham, ham, so. But we compartmentalize things to have more understanding, you know. It's like somebody playing an instrument, and maybe they have to first learn how to play on their own, and then after a while they can play two people, three people, and then they play with the whole symphony. But what I see is a lot of people stay too long with the training wheels, with the tools.
Oh,
like
you were saying,
right? Yeah.
I agree. I remember go ahead, Jed.
No, there's always going to be the Hendrix, the Jimi Hendrix, the guy that comes along and looks at the guitar and says, yeah, you've played it that way before, but now look at this. There's always going to be the exception, the anomaly, the person that just regards the rules and does something different. And guess what? That's the one that's going to get written in the history books.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about before, right? I mean, that's exactly it. The ones that say, hey, you know what? It's like, this is cool, sheepy, but check this out.
Yeah,
not to judge you. Little sheep down on the path, but here, watch this.
But I think in your mind, especially in this, you know, Aquarian age, it is about moving out of the sheepy. You know, it's like know when to be sheepy, but don't stay sheepy. Move out. Don't be afraid to be out of the pack, and follow that inner prompting or that divine tickle. Follow that.
Hell yeah, and definitely step in the poop. Be prepared to step in some poop. It's okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, I remember seeing a cartoon from in a Tony Robbins book from a long time ago. There was a bunch of sheep in a field. You guys remember this? And then there was the one sheep that was standing up on two legs going, hey, we don't have to be sheep anymore.
Oh, I remember that. Yes, I remember that.
Great cartoon. That was like such a great little cartoon.
Yeah. Kind of dancing. Yeah, it was on the two to.
Only took me only took me 15 years to actually get that.
So, I know I you know what. On reflection, it's a lot easier to reflect back on it and get it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's how I think, you know, Chad just nailed it. You know, it's like I see a lot of people talking about in the women's sector. I forgot what the quote is. You guys probably know it better than I do. Something like, you know, no woman ever made history by, you know, being, you know, whatever, like, you know, being, I don't know, quiet or you know, whatever. And I think that it really is. It's the people that some people could view as say, hey, you know what, they're mean or they're not. No, they're not mean. You know what, I'm not mean either. And that's part of me because I have such a huge heart. And sometimes I go, hey, you know what, wake up. You're like a sheep or whatever. I don't like to, like, get on people, but there's that love that's got truth just pushing behind it that wants to help people rise up above that sheep mentality, the group consciousness. And
even if it offends their comfort zone, it's still something
yeah.
to say.
Well, you know, last night I called it the death zone. To me, the comfort zone is the death zone.
Yeah, it is. It's where complacency takes place, and that's
yeah.
the beginning of death.
Yep. Your light dims slowly every day if you stay doing the same
well,
stuff.
And those that are coming to you, you know, they're on some level going to need that or want that, and maybe that's the game, that's the kind of people you want to play with,
right?
Is those that can handle that and have that life force, you know.
Well, I think that's what
that.
You,
wow.
that's to the point where you get, where you realize, you know what, I mean, that's what took me a while to break out of my shell. It's like, you know what, not everyone's going to like me, and I don't care anymore. It's
yeah.
like, I don't care because yeah. this is me, I'm
not.
Just doing wow. me, and the people that want to hear that vibration and that message and that strength and that crazy
yeah.
humor that goes with it, that's it. If you're looking to, like, say, hey, it's okay, just, you know, sit around and, you know, live in your little whatever and not getting what you want or not feeling joy in your life or whatever, fine, stay there. I don't care. But it's like, this is where I'm going now. And it's like, and I'm glad to talk to anyone that wants to go with me and to hang out with people that are doing it at a huge level.
And Scott, if you realize, you mentioned Tony or Anthony Robbins. He made a great speech one time about, see, people like to try and avoid problems. But really,
right.
when you encounter problems, what it does is the problem or the obstacle makes you go outside of your comfort zone to solve it.
Right.
But what happens is by this problem crops up and it forces you to go further than your limits to bring a solution to it. And then another problem comes up and it makes you go further that way. And
yeah.
what it's doing is expanding your being. It's expanding the livable space that you occupy.
Right.
And so every problem that you have, be grateful for, because what it's doing is expanding your being as long as you're willing to rise up and overcome it or address it.
Well, and I think that's what's cool when we talked about if you can look at that problem from instead of like, oh, my God, this sucks and I'm in it, and oh, my God, and go behind the projector and hang out with your friend and go, hey, dude, what's up? It's like, oh, you set
exactly.
up this cool little illusion. Well, that's not
and
real.
What am I
no
doing?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Cool little.
You have no energy. I'm going to divine tickle your ass until you remove that from my hologram.
Yeah, buddy.
I love it. Well, you know, in a sense, the problem just means you're growing. That the box got a little tight. It's a pinchy, and what you know, there's more of you wanting to come through, more
right.
expression, more divine
I
expression.
Think, I think desire, you know, desire and pain and wanting to overcome pain is nothing more than your soul and the universe is saying, hey, you know what? We got to grow because I'm moving, and if you're gonna hang out, you're gonna feel crappy. If you're not going to
yeah.
expand with me, it's like, then I'll expand through someone else. It's like, I'm hanging out. I'm expanding my ship because I'm the universe, dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm the universe, dude. I'm the universe.
Right.
I'm trying to cut through you.
That's right. I'm the universe, dude. TM.
Yeah. There's a mantra.
All kinds of stuff going on. If you
love
guys ever want
that.
To get together, I want to make a movie. I want to do like a comedy version of The Matrix. So if you guys are ever into
I'm up for it. Love it.
Yeah. Got it, yeah. Myth bust, because it's too heavy, scary, dark, you know, characterization is just, it dampens people's light. It makes them not want to expand. It makes them fearful of the rabbit hole.
Right. They yeah, and they don't understand that they're going to feel worse hanging out in their illusion of pain and that part of it. And I think that's what it is. Most people don't want to deal with their stuff inside so they can get through it and get to the next place. So they numb it. They numb it with booze and sex and chocolate and food and whatever else they're doing.
And by separation. By being separation. I'll stay in my little group. I'll stay with the people of like mindset so I feel better. Yeah. And it
yeah, feel better about separated. Misery. Let's hang out in Miseryville.
Right.
But yeah.
That's what's happening. That is exactly how we're responding.
Yeah. Hmm. Not us. We're all going down the rabbit hole and having a party.
Well, we want to know the truth. I mean, people like us, I think we're at the point where I'd like to know whatever's true, even if I don't agree with it, even if
right.
I don't understand it.
Do you think there is a one truth? Do you feel, because this is always a good question, too, because, like, for my own study and intuition or whatever, like, I come from that place of it's all a story, you know, so, you know, make it a good story or whatever, but it's still all a story. So it's like, is there really a truth? I mean, you know, maybe it's gravity and, you know, some of those things with universal laws. Or is it really truth
is
what we just
subjective?
Make it, whatever we think it is? Is that the truth?
I think you have an opinion. Each is a different, just like Carl Jung saying that we're all a question and an answer. You know, we're living answer. I think each of us has our own individual truth that we're living by or
mm-hmm.
potentially.
Yeah.
And maybe there are a few of the big T's.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably correct. That's kind of my intuitive version of it too. And you know, I know guys like Don Miguel Ruiz from, you know, the Four Agreement dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that great piece in there where it's just like, hey, we're all. I remember after I read that book years ago, every time somebody says something, I said, hey, that's your story. it's like that's cool. We're all just spitting out our stories, trying to convince everyone to come into our belief systems, and. That's really it. And I mean, we're all thinking we're holier than thou and we have the answers. And, you know, hey, we read the books and we meditated and we downloaded. Even us, we don't know necessarily. I mean, we know certain things. But I find that was very, very enlightening to me that it's just like, hey, I can let go of everybody else's story. I got my own story that I'm writing and co-writing and hanging out with projection and going, cut, no, I don't like that piece. Let's take that out, you know, and bring this back in there. So I think it's really a fascinating place to kind of just know that we're all projecting our stuff. So that just immediately, if you become aware of that, eliminates all the fighting and all the stuff going on with the arguing.
Well, and how about
like, no,
moving
you're
right. out of story? How about moving out of story and out of projection and perception?
Right, right.
That's what I was going to say. And Scott, I totally agree. We all have our story. We're all projecting our story. We all have our frame of reference from which
mm-hmm.
we tell the story.
Right.
But I really do believe that there is a truth. And maybe it's only a truth of energy. It's not a truth of perspective where our stories matter, because that's irrelevant when in patterns of energy. But
right.
I do see that there is a truth, something that is real. And
mm-hmm.
that's what, when you tap into that, when you speak that, when you say that, others respond on that level.
I agree with you. Because I think it's
like... Any thoughts real quick? Cause we're,
yeah, I'm sorry.
You're wrapping it up? Yeah, I'm tweeting it up. I'm tweeting in the background. I think the concept of it's all a story and what story are we telling, we're all constructing the reality with our words. You know, that actually this the tweeting, the typing it down, the speaking of it, you know, manifests it.
It's very tribal, the scribes.
Yeah, you know, and going from an oral culture to a written culture and back again, the how magic works, you know, and whether we're singing it and we're bringing song into it or doing ritual and bringing food and party and gathering, we're bringing these metaphorical constructs of ritual and magic and real spiritual world, you know, sacred shapes of ritual, sacred shapes of consciousness that make, that are the building blocks for, you know, going down the rabbit hole or going to the mountaintop, that's what's coalescing, I guess would be what I...
Maybe really in this westernized American culture, maybe we are finally connecting and creating the ritual. You know, maybe that is what's happening, because it's this live, you know, moment. And we're putting it to memory, you know, via the describing.
I think we all have shamanic kind of experiences and an awareness of transformation or transfiguration, of shifting things, of bringing that energy there and that awareness into a space, a physical space. And is that happening on Twitter? Are we finding those people on Twitter? Are we creating that sacred magic there? And
but then,
and then we're also taking it to the world.
We are.
So it's
we
a
are, though, but it is.
It's
but
the, through the looking glass.
Therefore I am, and therefore I attract. So we're attracting that because that's the game we want to play.
The computer screen is the looking glass, and we're going through it.
Mm-hmm. Dive in.
I just want to wear my rabbit suit.
There's your avatar, Scott. There's your avatar.
I'm going to put on a pink rabbit suit.
I'm going to put on a blue and white gingham dress with a pinafore and
excellent
black patent leather shoes.
And then who's going to wear that? I say we put, I don't even know if this is the same story. But
the Mad Hatter dude.
I want to see Chad with a top hat.
Yeah, let's mix it all in.
That's right.
I guess I'll be the hookah smoking caterpillar, I guess.
Oh, Lord.
Lord
have mercy. I think I'm gonna be doing some weird traveling tonight.
That's right, exactly.
I'm gonna go
who would you want to be? Michelle, who would you want to be?
Yeah.
Who's the white rabbit? It's Scott.
I don't know. I just, in the moment, I show up, and whatever appears. So I might be from a different story. I don't know. I might be little Bo Peep
cool.
in there. Or I might be Kali Yuga. I don't know.
You could be the writer. You could be keeping it all safe and playful for everyone and creating it.
Yeah. And then the psychology of our archetypes, that's exactly what we're doing. Every story you write, every story you project to the mass consciousness, it responds in a way that tells you who you are.
But see, Chad, that's what I've been moving out of the last few story. It is really, and I had this experience of having no past, in a sense, with the space behind. And maybe it's to consciously create story or be in story or not. I just think there is a place or space of just showing up, and there's no more story. There's no more title. No,
you know what's interesting, too? This has been a big challenge for me because I think we're all artists at some level here. I love stories. Like, I think
mm-hmm.
that's like... It's such a beautiful thing. I mean, you know, that's how we kind of like, you know, think and learn and whatever. And I love stories. But then, you know, Michelle just brought up that point, but it's like, you know, if there's no story, guess what? you're hanging out where you're supposed to be. And as an artist, it's interesting because you're like, well, I want to make fun of people, so I have to have characters and stories, and then here's some stuff I just saw out here today with this person or whatever, and you know, there's that fine line again of like, am I in the cave? Am I living here? It's like, am I removed? Am I just visiting? It's like, what's going on? And I remember there was a great line. There's a movie real quickly called, oh God, I won't remember. It was something to do with dancing or ballroom or something. It was an independent movie, and Jonathan Winters was in it. And there was a line in the movie that said, we're all just traveling through, white, red, black, yellow, brown, whatever, and then it said, don't blow the visit.
Oh, I love that.
That always
stuck
with me.
See, we're all just traveling through. Maybe it's to play in the story and create them, because I'm a writer, too, and love words, but maybe the attachment, maybe that's the fine line.
Yeah.
You're speaking of
I think it is. Because
for me,
it's like
the whole idea is meta. Stepping back from and observing, metacognitive, just stepping one step back into behind the projector.
Yeah. Well that's where the best stories come from.
The projector. Go beyond the projector. Go beyond the story. Go beyond the director. This has been great. All of you in the chat, thank you so much. And you, everyone, because we're winding down. 44 seconds.
Okay.
So we have been talking with Scott Brandon Hoffman, who is at, where are you at?
Livinginahumansuit.com.
Perfect. You can
The Entertainer on Twitter.
great. And, of course, Chad Lilly of Inner Circle Publishing.
Chad on Twitter and innercirclepublishing.com.
Great. And Kirsten Mitchell, mythologist, writer, media analyst, weaving a thread between mythology, technology, and spirit.
Phenomenologist, hermeneutic scholar at Kirsty and KirstenMitchell.com.
Been a great journey. Thanks to all of you for connecting in. This has been a blast.
All right.
And
Michelle.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Do it again. Let's do it again.
Mad tea party.
Ooh, I love it. Yeah, mad tea party. Join us.
Love you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Love
Bye.
Bye.
Namaste.
Namaste.
I will be